Now, joining me on the line is Patricia Richard-Clark, who is the chairperson of Safeguarding Ireland. Good morning, Patricia. How are you?
Good morning, Carl.
And you're here today to talk to us about the fact that 95% of the Irish adults have not made plans in regards to their future healthcare.
Indeed. Yes, just to say, particularly during this COVID period, it's really important that people do plan ahead for future healthcare. And obviously COVID-19 brings starkly to us. Sometimes we put off these things, we're well, we put them into the future, it's really only for older people or whatever. But clearly at the moment we're in a situation where people get very ill very quickly, are unable to make their own decisions. So we did a survey, and as you say, 95% of people haven't taken steps. 23% of people had been prompted to think about doing so during COVID-19. But actually, the figures don't indicate that they actually did do any planning ahead. So we did a survey the end of last year, beginning of early this year, where 2% of people had filled in a Think Ahead form. Now, a Think Ahead form is a form which is an initiative of the Irish Hospice Foundation, and it facilitates people to record their wishes with regard to their treatment choices, their place of care, their end-of-life decisions. So in our survey, the people who had completed during COVID-19 only increased to 4%, very small percentage. And those who had completed what we call an advance healthcare directive, in other words, their treatment choices, setting out or nominating somebody to consent or refuse treatment on their behalf, was earlier this year at 3%. It's now only gone up to 4%. And those who actually made an enjoying power of attorney, that is somebody to nominate somebody to manage their finances, is only at 6%. Now, we found that older people, slightly more inclined to do so, women more inclined to plan ahead, but overall the figures are at a very low stage. So this gives rise to a number of issues. And so Safeguarding Ireland are urging people really to consider their wishes and put their plans, document their plans in a document. Think Ahead, as I said, facilitates that. And these can be then referred to when they're unable to make decisions. So again, just coming back to, we think we did another survey at the end of last year where family members or people think their family can make decisions on their behalf, that they can consent to treatment, they can deal with their finances. That is not the situation. And we were also astounded to find out in a survey that 58% of people felt they could make decisions on behalf of an older or frail family member who had capacity to make those decisions. So we're in a position where actually we really don't understand the implications of not planning ahead. So what it means is that, and I'm sure many of us have been in this situation, where your healthcare professional, your treating doctor, whatever, wishes to know your wishes, and there are three or four family members, all with different views and all arguing. None of those family members actually have the authority to make those decisions. Again, in this survey, we asked the question about what are the most important things that you feel should be put in place. And the one that came out with the highest percentage of people who said it was very important, 45%, said nominating a designated person, which is really, really important. And yet, most of us haven't done that. So if you nominate a person, you need to have that conversation with them about your wishes, and you need to record that, in a document. The second highest in the survey said that end of life, and as we know in COVID-19, we've huge loss of life, and therefore it's really important that we set again our wishes with regard to, do we want to be resuscitated or not? What are the issues that arise? And this gives rise to difficulties for people who are treating us, healthcare professionals, who really, again, in terms of a number of the ethical guidelines that have been published by the Department of Health recently, point to healthcare professionals that it's really important to take into account a person's wishes and preference with regard to their treatment and their end-of-life wishes. So if we don't record those, we're not assisting people. The other issue about that is that, again, where we're very ill, who does the healthcare professional talk to and give information for? We're all talking about GDPR and not giving information, not passing on information. Really important that we, again, nominate that really trusted person who is the person that has the authority to communicate and that healthcare professionals have the authority to give information and discuss these issues with. So all of those are really important. So really it greatly helps our family members. It helps healthcare professionals to ensure our wishes are respected. And again, another issue from Safeguarding Ireland's point of view is if we don't record our wishes, again, we could be very vulnerable and in abusive situations. So really, really important that we do plan ahead for all of these issues.
And of course, you were saying there as well that it's been more so really the past while that some people have kind of realised that they should plan ahead with this because unfortunately you don't know really kind of until it's a bit too late with the coronavirus for a lot of people.
Indeed.
Has it been more that the older people have kind of gotten around to it quicker than say a younger generation of people, or has it kind of steadied out?
In terms of planning in future. The older people have the slightly larger percentage, around 10-11%, but that's not in the overall figure. That's not huge. And as you know, our demographics, we're living longer and older and whatever. The other thing in this survey, which I thought was interesting, was we asked the question about did people experience any difficulty with planning ahead when they were trying to do so. And 13% of those who have already planned ahead or are considering do so, they had concerns and reluctance to discuss planning ahead and death with their family members. Now, we have to get over that, and it's really important that we do have those discussions. The other issue, and also have those discussions with a person we trust. It doesn't have to be a family member. It can be a friend. It can be somebody else. But we must talk to somebody that we really trust, and we trust them to carry out our wishes. Not that they'll go off and make their own decisions, that we will nominate them and trust them to carry out our wishes. The other point that was raised was that people felt there was a financial cost associated with planning ahead. Now, obviously, to make an enjoying power of attorney, the legislation provides that you must go to a solicitor. So there's a cost in that, all right. However, for those people, some people may qualify for legal aid and get assistance from the legal aid board in doing their enjoying power of attorney. But the enjoying power of attorney is mostly for organising your finances and your legal affairs. But in terms of then, and then the third element is, the financial cost, to do your planning ahead for your care decisions or your place of care, end of life, there's no cost in doing that. You do not need to go to a solicitor. Obviously, it would be beneficial if you had a chronic illness or an illness that you discussed with your medical, your treating doctor or whatever, but not absolutely necessary. But again, the Think Ahead form is very clear in helping you through all of that. And then the third point that people who were asked this question, the difficulties said was they really had a lack of awareness of the process and what forms need to be completed. So again, to emphasise, again, there is this information on the website for Safeguarding Ireland, safeguardingireland.org. But in terms of there's also that Think Ahead form that can be completed. But also in terms of your treatment decisions or whatever, you can write it down. It doesn't have to be in a form. You can write it down, set out your wishes, have your conversation. Important that you have your conversation as well with the person you're nominating. Clearly identify the person you're nominating and have your signature witnessed, preferably by two people who should not be family members. So in other words, and you should not be influenced to record or nominate any particular person. So that's where the safeguarding comes in. To do it independently, get help from somebody independent if you wish to do so, but really record your wishes. And again, record what your end-of-life wishes are as well. People are confused about that, and indeed we've bad practices where in many hospital situations, family members are asked about do not resuscitate. And again, the HSE guidelines are very clear about that. Family members, unless nominated, by you beforehand do not have that authority. So it's really, we have to become aware of how we do it, record it, have the conversation, write it down, and whatever, and then let people know where your document is or whatever. Really, really important.
I agree completely with that. It should be that it is great for every adult to kind of have their plans laid out for them, because it also makes things easier on other family members and friends as well in the long run. But I have heard a few times that unfortunately some people kind of got carried away, say had they had the power of attorney when it came to certain things, when in reality they really didn't. So it is a good idea for people to kind of, well, not really a good idea, but a kind of an important one, that people get out
Indeed.
And get this done, because you might know what could happen, say, 10, 12 weeks down the road. No one does.
No. And we've had a very clear, you know, pandemic, you know, in which people, you know, a few weeks ago were very well and are now very unwell, and really, and we should all, every one of us has a responsibility to put our own plans in place to ensure that our wishes, you know, are set down, are clearly identified, and then our wishes can be respected. It also says, as you said, huge issues and stress, family members, healthcare professionals, and whoever. So it's for everybody's benefit that we do this.
It is indeed. And just before I let you go, Patricia, can I get you to mention them websites again for the people?
Yes. So www.safeguardingirelandallonword.org, and there's also www.thinkahead.ie. There's also for banking, but most of the documents will be on the Safeguarding Ireland website. There's a resource section on the Safeguarding Ireland website. So I should also mention, although we're concentrating on care decisions today for finances, a number of the banks have set up a vulnerable customers direct line. So you don't get through to an online service, you get through to a person who will talk to you. And again, those numbers are on our website. So you can, if you're ill, can't manage your finances, can't call to the bank, again, it's important to get in touch with the banks directly on that.
Listen, Patricia, it's been an absolute pleasure having a chat with you this morning about this.
Thank you, Carl, for having me.
And you, of course, welcome back any time in the future. And take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye
now.
And, of course, that was Patricia Richard-Clark, who is, of course, the chairperson with Safeguarding Ireland.